Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, again, it's wonderful to be with you all this morning and looking forward to getting into the Word this morning. Just want to kind of encourage you, for those of you that are newer to Oceans, we have two different services. On Saturday nights, we call it an encounter service, but really what it is it's a service where we have more time. So there's more worship and there's more ministry of the Spirit. And you know, the Bible is clear, there needs to be the Spirit and the Word. Amen? We need both. So I really encourage you, if you've never come to a Saturday night service, or even if you have, come again. And come and experience a Saturday night service. It's wonderful. We worship God more. We get into the presence of God. There's ministry time. We see God do incredible things. I got an incredible testimony this morning from a young lady that got healed in a service a few weeks ago from an incurable disease, and she sent in her report this morning. So, you know, God really moves in an atmosphere of worship, and when we're adoring Him and we're giving Him adoration and just worshiping Him. You know, the Bible tells us when we come together that there should be the prayer and anointing of oil, laying on of hands, many different things that we're supposed to see in church, supposed to be part of church. You know, on Sunday mornings we do more teaching, but you know, whatever the Lord wants, we'll do whatever He wants. Amen? But Saturday night is a little bit of a different expression, and I really do encourage you, if you were not here last night, go listen to last night's message. It was a really powerful word, and God moved powerfully in this place after the word last night. It was awesome. Amen. So tonight I'm going to be diving into a subject that I think many of you are interested in. Last week, I did a short little video on Facebook, kind of talking about where we are in God's timeline, discussing things like COVID, difficult topic. And I know that, you know, on both sides, you know, it's difficult because, you know, you don't want to offend anybody. At the same time, you want to tell the truth. You know, so I know on both sides, you know, I could have upset people on both sides, but that's okay. Amen. I did everything in love and to the best of my ability. As a shepherd of this flock, I really want to always do my best to protect the people, to love the people, and to lead them correctly. Is that okay? But one thing came out of it that was really interesting. I saw a lot of people, we had a short Q&A section at the end, and a lot of people were asking questions about the end times, wanting to know where we are in God's timeline. Where are we in the book of Revelation? Where are we right now? Is the vaccine the mark of the beast? Stuff like that, you know, and, you know, so I really felt it would be a good idea for me to start to move in a direction in the next few months. I'll bring a few messages, and then what I'm going to do in January, probably after the Holy Spirit Fire Conference, so probably be towards the end of February, I'll start a series on the book of Revelation. So I'll do a whole teaching on the book of Revelation, the end times. I'm looking forward to doing that. I did that in the first year we planted the church. But, you know, I really want to do it again because I think a lot of people will benefit from it. The book of Revelation can be very difficult to understand. And also, if you don't understand how to study the book of Revelation, you will get confused. Also, to tie into the book of Revelation, there are other books, specifically books of the prophets, that we need to tie in to show you the full picture. So we're going to do that early in the new year. I'm excited about that. But this morning, I'm going to be talking to you about the Antichrist. And so I want to give you a stern warning from Scripture. And this is very important, having a look at where we are right now. What's going on the planet right now? And so I think it's important that we have a look at that. I'm going to read one Scripture, and then we'll start. You know, I'll start just to kind of give you a breakdown as to where I believe we are and talk about the last days. Is that okay? All right, so 1 John 2, verse number 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. This is very important, and what he said here, we need to pay attention to. First of all, he's suggesting that because there have been more Antichrists that have risen up in that time, it would seem that we are heading closer and closer to the last hour, which suggests that the more Antichrist-type figures that we see in operation would suggest that we are moving closer and closer to the end. One thing I want you to know for sure is that tomorrow we will be closer to the last of last days than we are today. And the day after tomorrow, we will be closer than we will be tomorrow. But the actual final hour, the final day, we do not know. But we prepare ourselves. They honestly believe, John and those disciples who really knew the Lord, believed that he was coming at that time. They thought he was coming. They believed it. And I believe that every generation should have that mindset. That's what will keep the church hungry for souls. That's what will keep the church fervent and passionate and desiring to see the Lord touch people's lives. If we think we've just got lots of time and, you know, then guess what? We do nothing about it. Can you say amen? So we need to know that that's one thing that's really important. I'm going to talk a lot about the Antichrist in just a moment, but let me say this. With where we are right now, Jesus is the one who gives us the greatest sign of the end times. He goes and he says there will be a lot of things that will take place. He says there will be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be pestilences, famines. There'll be different types of natural disasters. He names them. And so through the ages, many have gone, you know, this war, this is it. This is the end of the age. This famine or this plague or whatever it is, this is it now. This is the end of the age. And it has not been. But Jesus does give us one very interesting clue right at the end of everything he said. And what he's basically saying, I've said all of this, these things will happen. He says, but know this, that it will be like it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now that's very interesting because there's a lot going on in Scripture in the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you're going to have to put your spiritual eyes on and your spiritual ears will have to open just for a few minutes because I'm going to talk to you about some things you may never have heard of before. Because I want you to understand that there's no doubt that we are heading closer and closer to the end of the age. We are heading towards there because the final sign or the main sign that we see from Scripture, there's no doubt that we are on the verge of that. That verge could be 10 years, possibly 100 years, maybe a few years, maybe less. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is we should prepare like he's coming today. We should live like he's coming today, but also live like we're going to be here for the rest of our lives. Can you say amen? In his time, the Bible tells us no one knows except the Father. So don't listen to any prophet or pastor or teacher or evangelist or anybody that says, I know on January 14th, the Lord is coming again. He is wrong. And they have been proven wrong throughout the ages. Okay, we're not going to get too much into that, but there have been many people that have said, this is the day or this is the year, and it hasn't happened. The only thing we know is the great sign that he speaks about, the days of Noah, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll show you from Scripture today what we have to really watch out for. But what happened in the days of Noah? What happened in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? You see, I really believe with all of my heart that really what the Lord is speaking about is messing or trying to interrupt God's creation. You are God's creation, and in you is a DNA that God has given you. You see, that's who God created you to be. But in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, that DNA was messed with. You see, the Bible tells us before the flood of Noah that the sons of God went into the daughters of men and there were giants in the land. The word giants in the Hebrew is the word Nephilim. The word Nephilim speaks of a different type of character. Now we get a glimpse of this when we look in the book of Jude in more than three places and also in the book of Peter, 2 Peter, where it actually talks about what took place in the days of Noah. You see, in the days of Noah, before the flood, when the sons of God went into the daughters of men, these were not human beings, the sons of God. In Scripture, the sons of God really speaks in this situation of fallen angels. I know it sounds crazy. Fallen angels that had fallen, that went against God, went against what was natural. They crossed all the boundaries and they went into the daughters of men and there were giants in the land. There were Nephilim in the land. That was not God's DNA. It wasn't what was created, was not fully human and was not fully angelic. Is that okay? remember, don't picture a little guy, a big guy with wings. These fallen angels are fallen creatures. Is that okay? Now, we know that this happened again because Scripture tells us. You see, first of all, when this took place on the earth in the days of Noah, there was all kinds of evil on the earth. There was all kinds of evil taking place because of what these fallen angels had done with man. So what does God do? He brings judgment and he floods the whole earth. Are you with me? The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that the sons of God went into the daughters of men and there were giants in the land now and also afterwards. So in other words, that sin, what they had done, they didn't only do it once. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when Abraham went down to Sodom and Gomorrah with the angels, the Bible tells us clearly that the men of the city wanted to know the angels carnally. I don't think I need to tell you what that means. So again, we see a people that were doing the unimaginable, what's an abomination in the sight of God. What does God do? He brings judgment to that city. Jesus said it will be like it was in the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. That will be the sign of the end of the age. In other words, man's DNA, what God created us to be, will once again be interrupted. Whether it be through angels or whatever else it might be, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that that's what we need to watch out for. Now, when we read in Scripture about beasts and dragons and things like that, our minds have a tendency to literally imagine a beast. But the truth is, the beast is a person. And so when we see how things can happen, we always try and spiritualize it for our minds to understand it. But many times it happens just in a natural way. So for example, many people have asked the question, is the vaccine the mark of the beast? I honestly don't believe that it is. But in the future, could a vaccine potentially be? Yes, it could be. I've heard Bill Gates with my own eyes. I've seen and heard with my own eyes how he talks about a future vaccine that has the potential to cause religious fanatics to no longer be religiously fanatic. I've heard it myself, seen it myself. So that's not secondhand information. But do I believe that the current vaccine is the mark? No. But do I believe that we are being desensitized and moving in a direction that will prepare us for what the enemy wants to do? Yes, I do. So what's the sign? It will be like it was in the days of Noah, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. What's the goal? The goal is for us to worship the enemy. That's what it's all about. Now watch this. In order for us to understand, are you guys okay? I know that's a lot of stuff there. Now, as I said, you can literally go and read in the book of Peter. It even tells you what happened to those angels. It tells you that they were locked up in a place like a hell. It's called Tartarus or Tartarus. And that's basically where those fallen angels that crossed the lines were locked up until the day of judgment. The book of Jude explains the judgment that happens to them because it's a form of apostasy. So it's very interesting. Don't think that the book of Enoch doesn't have some value. It's not scripture. So we don't hold it as scripture. We don't hold it as scripture, but it can most certainly open our eyes to some things in scripture. Otherwise, John wouldn't have quoted it. I mean, Peter wouldn't have quoted it, and neither would Jude. Are you with me? Now, we need to understand a little bit more about this Antichrist. Remember what I said? We can see clearly that as more Antichrists begin to rise on the scene, or more try to lead us away from the Christ, it shows that it's a sign moving us more towards the end. In order for us to understand what Antichrist means, we first need to know what Christ means. So what does the word Christ mean? You see, in the Greek, the word Christ is Christos. Christos. And if you take that exact same word in the Hebrew, it's Messiah. You see, Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. Are you with me? So if you are Antichrist, that means you are anti-Christos in the Greek, or anti-Messiah in the Hebrew. That's what it literally means. We need to understand what the word anti means. What does anti mean? Well, obviously it means against. One form of the word means against. So you are against Christ, or you are against the Messiah. The other thing anti means is it also means in place of. In other words, you have chosen to put someone else in place of the Messiah. That is anti-Messiah or anti-Christ. That's what that spirit, what that is. Is that okay? So you understand that in order for us to look deeper at what anti-Christ means, it is either someone that is against the Messiah or someone that believes they have taken the place of the Messiah. That is the anti-Christ or anti-Christ spirit. Now, let's go to verse number 19. Are you guys with me? Are you okay this morning in Vero Beach? Amen. Listen, it's Labor Day weekend and the church is full. Praise God. It's absolutely awesome. So, verse number 19. They went out from us. Actually, let's just read it. Let's read verse 18 again. Let's start from the beginning just to put it all back into context. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now watch, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. I have written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. I want you to see that. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let's go to 1 John 4, verse number 2, and then we'll come back to that and break it down. 1 John 4, verse number 2. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So we need to recognize there are three things. First, that there are many Antichrists. We see that at the beginning of 1 John. Second, we need to recognize that there will be a character that will come on the scene who is the Antichrist in the last days. And then we need to recognize that there is a spirit of the Antichrist working on the earth. And that spirit will try to deceive you to believe in the Antichrist. Is that okay? Now, in order for us to understand this, we need to look at three things that we can see clearly from the text that define what causes a spirit of Antichrist to be revealed. Watch. Let's go to 1 John 2:19. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. This suggests a type of person that starts correctly, that starts walking with God, but eventually turns away from God. When you turn away and you no longer believe that Jesus is who he says he was, you stray away from the truth, that becomes antichrist. That's what you start right, but you end up false. Are you with me? That is antichrist. Those people, they don't last. They start in the correct way. They're going in the right direction, but then they get deceived, and then that spirit of the antichrist comes in. That's the first thing. The second thing, let's go to 1 John 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. A person who denies the relationship between the Father and the Son is an Antichrist spirit. Listen carefully to me. If someone or a religion or a belief believes that Jesus is not the Son of God, that is Antichrist. That's what that scripture says. It says in the B part, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Do you see it? So when someone says or speaks or preaches or prophesies or teaches or writes, and they say that Jesus was not the Son of God, you must know the spirit that is operating is the spirit of the Antichrist. Amen. The next thing is out of 1 John 4, verse number 2. And this is what it says. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, everybody say, has come in the flesh is from God. But if you do not confess that Jesus has come, in other words, the Messiah has already come. If you deny that the Messiah has already come, that is Antichrist. That's what the scriptures say. So there are three stern warnings. Number one, those who start and then deny. Number two, those who deny the relationship between the Father and the Son, that Jesus is the Son of God. And number three, when someone does not confess that Jesus came in the flesh. In other words, he was not the Messiah. That's Antichrist. Pretty straightforward, right? Now, in order for us to begin to understand this, I'm going to show you two religions, but there are many. And please, when I say the first one, don't look at me with dagger eyes, okay? Because the first one may shock you. But the first religion we need to look at that is Antichrist is Judaism. Okay? And the reason why is because they meet the criteria of all those three things. You see, you must understand that Judaism starts in the Old Testament, and they were going in the right way. They were going in the right direction. But once Jesus came, they changed, and they were no longer going in the right direction. That's the first thing. The second thing is they deny the relationship between the Father and the Son. Jesus is not the Son of God. Are you with me? The third thing is that they deny that the Messiah has come. So Judaism is a form of Antichrist religion. Now, please, I need to say this. That doesn't change the fact that we love Israel. That doesn't change the fact that we pray for Israel. God still has a plan for his people. Those are still his people. And God has a plan for the church. Jesus tells us that we are to love our neighbor. Jesus even tells us to love our enemies. Are you with me? But they are not our enemies. Are you with me? So just because they've missed it doesn't mean that now we come against them. You see, in the past, there have been movements and things that have happened, even out of Christianity, where they missed it. But that doesn't make the Jews right. Jesus actually warned his people about this. Watch this. Let's go to John 5, verse 43. John 5, verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. Do you know that after Jesus, there have been more than 40 messiahs in the religion of Judaism that have come on the scene that they believed were possible messiahs? Unfortunately, many of those false messiahs led many, many astray. Don't think that's the only place that happened. Within Christianity, there have been movements that have broken away as well. For example, the movement of Mormonism. Mormonism was also an angel that came and gave a different doctrine. Okay? But another religion that we must look at, and please, I'm not putting them on the same level, but this is another very intense religion, massive religion, and that's the religion of Islam. Islam is a religion we must take a look at. The word Islam means perfection, fulfillment, completeness. And Muhammad, he claimed to be a prophet. He received from an angel a revelation of the religion that they have. He basically received from this angel this revelation. He claimed that Islam was the true fulfillment of scriptures and that the Christians had got it wrong. That's what he claimed. And he actually believed that because he did this and he was able to prove that the Christians were wrong, he believed that the Jews would come up behind and also believe what he believed, but they didn't. And so not only did they come against Christians, but now they also come against Jews as well. Are you with me? But he believed that the Jews would come up under him and be supportive of that religion, but they didn't. They didn't fall for that. Islam is a very dangerous religion. Islam desires to suppress the Jews and the Christian. Muhammad taught that Jesus never died and never rose again. Do you see it? Never died, never rose again. In other words, he denied Jesus, so you can clearly see it's an antichrist type of religion. Very interesting. Very interesting. They also deny that Jesus is the Son of God. So again, clearly you can see it's an antichrist spirit in operation. Now, what is the problem? What is the problem for all these religions? Jesus. He's the problem. You see, the truth is that there's no other way to the Father. Jesus is the only way. And you see, the world will do everything to persuade you that that's not the truth. Why can't we go through Muhammad? Why can't we go through Islam? Why can't we all just be one religion or just have one idea? They'll do everything they can to persuade you, because as soon as you do that, it is simply antichrist. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. Again, I say it. There is no other way. The fact is that since then and still to come, there will be many antichrists that will try and lure you with the spirit of antichrist away from the Messiah. That's what he wants to do. Now, we need to take a little bit of a look at the antichrist figure that's coming. Is that okay? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 1. And I'm going to give you a break and I'm going to have a sip of water. You know, it's very interesting because you will notice that both Islam and Judaism come out of the Middle East. But what other religion comes out of that region? Christianity. Now, we have seen in both Islam and also Judaism an era when it comes to the Messiah. Are you with me? But what about Christianity? Let's take a look. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit of the word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come, because there were people actually already preaching that it was over, which is absolute nonsense. Verse number 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. He wants you to know that before the end, there is a character that must come on the scene. That character is named here as the son of perdition or the man of sin. That simply is the Antichrist. But what's interesting is the Bible tells us that there will be a falling away. It says that no one deceive you, for that day will not come, he will not be revealed until there is first a falling away. A falling away from where? Most possibly could be the church. Now, what does falling away mean? Falling away means apostasy. That's what it means. In other words, it's a rejection of the truth. When the church begins to reject the truth, we move into apostasy. What's really interesting is the choice of words that is used here by the writer of Thessalonians. He writes, he says, the man of sin and the son of perdition. Let's start with the son of perdition. How many of you know there's only one other character in the Bible that is called the son of perdition? His name was Judas. Judas was called the son of perdition. What did Judas do? He betrayed. Think about it. There is a very possible betrayal that's going to take place in the church. In other words, someone from within the church will cause a falling away. Someone from in the church will cause a betrayal. Are you with me? He's going to betray the Messiah. He's going to betray the Lord. And it's going to be from within. That's kind of scary. The other interesting thing is that he's called the man of sin. The word sin there also in many Bibles actually says the man of lawlessness. Have a look at where the church is right now and how the world is affecting the church. For us to get to a place where we actually believe, listen, we can become lawless. Do what we want, live how we want. Are you with me? You must understand, don't think that the Antichrist is going to show up with horns and like a beast that you can physically see. He's going to be so sly. He's going to be so convincing. And he's going to do some things which I'll show you in just a moment that will be so persuasive to many from within the church. And when he does it, he's already prepared you to get to that place. The preparation of deception has already begun long time ago. You see, when someone wants to turn someone against somebody, they never do it in a way that is intentional, or well, that's pretty intentional, but they never do it blatantly. What they'll do is they'll plant seeds. So I'm going to use myself as an example. Let's say somebody wants to turn somebody against me, okay? What they will do is they will go to that person, say something nice about me, and then just say something small, something little. And that'll go, that person will be like, you know, not really pay too much attention to it. Then they'll, again, have conversation. Something little, again, will slip out. And then they'll even continue and pretend they never said it and say something good. So you think the person is actually for me. But in actual fact, the person slowly but surely is causing, by planting seeds of suggestion in you, and eventually getting you to the point where you get deceived. That's why you must never believe a lie. And if anyone ever talks against me, just run away. Run fast. Amen. I've seen this in my ministry many times, by the way. And so if it can happen so simply with us, human beings, don't think it can't happen on that level. It's very subtle. That's why I say we know we are heading towards the end, because look how the world is trying to control us even now. The control of everything's beginning. We are not there, but we are in the birth pangs. We're moving in that direction. So you need to be wide awake. You need to have discerning of spirits. You need to be led by the Spirit in every decision that you make. Now, let's go a little bit deeper in it. So we can see clearly that the plan of the Antichrist is going to be to bring disorder, to bring lawlessness. He's going to be a betrayer. So let's go take a look at where he appears in Scripture. Let's go to Revelation 13, verse number 1. Now, don't worry, I'm nearly done, and I'm just whetting your appetite with this. We're going to really dive into this. You know, early in the new year, I'll maybe talk a little bit more about a few things in the days to come. Is this interesting for you guys? All right. Revelation 13, verse number 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. There it is. The blasphemous name, the Antichrist. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. Let's stop there. I want you to know the character we are talking about here, the beast, simply is the Antichrist figure. that is the Antichrist. Now, don't worry at this point about the horns and the crowns. When we do Revelation, I'll explain all of that to you. What I want you to see is who he is and the expression the Bible uses to describe him. He is a beast with the nature of a beast. And that beast has got no plan to do anything good to you and I. That beast is just like his father, the devil, who wants to bring death and destruction. In fact, the very next verse or part of the verse tells us where he gets empowered. The Bible says in the second part of verse number 2, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. The only person or character on the earth that has any kind of throne or any type of authority is Satan himself. And the one who empowers the Antichrist is simply the dragon, who is simply Satan himself. So I want you to know that Satan is the one who will empower the Antichrist. He is the one who will give the Antichrist power. At this point, it's important for you to also note this. Don't think the devil has no power. He does have power. But his power does not compare to the power of the cross, the power of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And remember, his influence will be on only be on those who he deceives. Now, there will be a great deception. The great deception will also follow with an event that takes place, which causes many people to be deceived. Have a look at this. He says this in verse number 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Now, some scholars, and I'm not saying that's what it is, but some scholars suggest that that mortal wound means that he dies and that somehow he's raised from the dead. And because of this miracle, everybody's gonna follow him. Are you with me? That's the suggestion, but it could be something else. It could be some other great act. I don't know, but it would seem as though it's a mortal wound. In other words, a wound of death, and then suddenly he rises from the dead. And in verse number 4, it says, so they worshiped the dragon. They worshiped the Antichrist the dragon, who is the devil, who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast. Now remember, don't think for a minute when the earth is now, or the people that are deceived are now worshiping the devil, that you're going to see a guy with a fork and horns. You're going to think he is God if you have been deceived. You will think that's God and that's the Son of God. That's the Antichrist. That's the deception. It's not going to be, well, I just want to let you know, God was bad and I'm the devil and I'm good. It's not going to be like that. We will be convinced that this is the Messiah and that this is God. That's what's going to happen. Amen? Verse number 4. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? What we also need to understand, and I've told you this already, that the Antichrist is the beast. Now let's go to Revelation 5, verse number 5. I want you to see something real quick. It's very interesting that the image of the Antichrist is a beast. What's the image of Jesus? Let's go, Revelation 5, verse 5. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. This is so beautiful, and I'd love to explain it all to you because it's so powerful. But what you need to take out of it is there's an image of a lamb. That is the Son of God. That is the Christ who came and humbled himself so that you and I could be saved. He doesn't come as a beast who's greedy and wants to be worshipped and wants to just take ownership. Jesus comes as an image of a suffering servant, a lamb whose blood was slain so that you and I could have redemption and salvation. There's a great difference between the two. That's what will happen in that day. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 3. Let's go back real quick. I'm almost done. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away, the apostasy, the rejection of the truth comes first. And then the man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed. You can take that down. Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anyone ever try and persuade you that Jesus is not the Son of God. Don't let anyone try and persuade you that the Messiah has not already come. Are you with me? He is the Son of God. And don't let anyone try and change the message of the gospel that saved your soul and persuade you that we can live any kind of way and it'll eventually all lead to the same thing. That's Antichrist. So what do? We stay in the truth. God's word never changes. It doesn't matter how charismatic, how anointed, how powerful anybody is that tries to persuade you of anything different. And be alert in this time because we are getting closer. Like I said to you, tomorrow will be closer. The day after will be closer than tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, the Bible says. In other words, don't worry. Don't worry if he comes tomorrow. Don't worry if he comes the next day. You live your life and enjoy every minute of it, but be ready. And don't worry about anything because the truth is that one day when you do leave this earth, guess what? You're going to be with the Father. You're going to be with the Lord of glory. So you have nothing to fear. Don't be afraid of the Antichrist or the dragon, the devil. Don't be afraid of them. It's interesting because if you keep on reading out of Revelation where I was reading there, you'll actually find that out of the sea comes another character which is called the false prophet. And so you see an unholy trinity between Satan or the dragon. You see the beast and you see the false prophet, which is an imitation of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This you must be aware of. This you must be aware of in this time because that spirit is getting stronger on the earth, desiring to lure people away from the truth. And John is trying to make it very clear. Listen, don't be deceived. Keep your eyes open. Be watchful. Stay close to God. Don't worry. Don't listen to any other teachings about any other Messiah. Don't ever doubt the truth. And you'll be okay.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.